Next on BYUSN, basketball is back, live from Big 12 Basketball Media Days in Kansas City as we preview year two of Power 5 hoops for the Cougars. BYU head coach Amber Whiting joins us to tip things off. How does she really feel about BYU being picked to finish 12th in the preseason and why she expects her team to shock the conference?
Hoopsters Amari Whiting, Kemri Congdon, and Emma Calvert on how year two in the Big 12 will be different from year one. And we'll still talk plenty of football as we look at some of the most intriguing numbers about the 7-0 BYU Cougars.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, October 22nd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside Kansas City barbecue expert Jerem Jordan.
Looking forward to it. This is a great place for some barbecue. We like Q39. We like Joe's Barbecue. Those are the ones we've mainly tried around
here. We will eat at both.
If you have recommendations, send them in. We'll try and hit them up. We are busy the next couple of days. Leaving Thursday. Shout out to everyone in Provo and here in studio Kansas City. I didn't know that we had like BYU TV jerseys and Big 12 jerseys. We should play pickup in these.
Yes. Sometime. Can we just give a quick shout out to our crew and the
shout
BYU
out.
TV marketing crew who puts this stuff together?
Yeah. Thanks to everybody. It's fun to be here. We got Tyler Hawes and Chris Kozlowski and Jason Shepard along for the ride as well. So we're looking forward to the next 2 days. Today is Women's Basketball Media Day. Tomorrow is Men's Basketball Media Day. And stoked about what these two seasons will provide, because guess what? Hoop season's in just a couple of weeks. We get dialed in on football and women's soccer and women's volleyball and cross country. Hey, we got the crossover, as I call it, coming up in November.
We love the chaos, the crossover chaos.
November, like late October, early November, and March, where it's like
the busiest.
Oh, now softball, men's basketball, and everything. Yeah, baseball is going.
Looking
awesome.
Forward to it. Hey, we've got a lot to do, including some headlines before we get into today's What's Trending, beginning with BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff, named by the Manning Award as one of the 8 stars of the week for his performance against Oklahoma State. He continues to beat his own odds. UCF head coach Gus Malzahn unsurprisingly has named Ja'Kari Brown the starting quarterback for the remainder of the season, taking over for the beleaguered KJ Jefferson.
That's funny. What it is for the next game. You've got to just see what happens, right?
Let's see what happens.
You're guaranteeing in game 12.
How about our guy Kyle Van Noy? KVN does it again.
Yep.
3 tackles and a sack in a Ravens 41-31 win over the Tampa Bay Bucks. His 7th sack of the year, 4th most in the NFL. Remember when he was playing with a broken orbital bone for much of this season?
I can't believe he's back so quickly. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
And he wasn't signed for a minute last year. Remember that? It was like into the season a few games. Crazy. Women's soccer beat Houston 3-0 on senior night. Nice win last night. Goals from Allie Fryer, Avery Frischnecht, and then 17-year-old freshman Lucy Kessler scored her first career goal. Congrats. Women's volleyball moves up 3 spots to number 21 in the latest AVCA poll, tied with that team up north after the win over that team up north. Men's golf holds a 1-shot lead after day 1 of the Leadership and Golf Collegiate in Monterey, California.
Hey, shout out to Bruce Brockbank, Todd Miller and company. Get it done, gentlemen. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Special seasons have special moments, and that's what makes special teams.
We'll just get back to work and then stay humble, stay hungry, and repeat it all next week. But right now, we're going to have fun.
And we're going to have fun because BYU football is still 7-0 for the first time since 2020 and ranked number 11 in the latest AP poll. The highest BYU has been ranked since the 5-0 start in 2021 had the Cougars at number 10. However, there are plenty of other numbers surrounding BYU football that have created high intrigue. So let's take a look at BYU by some of those numbers, shall we? Beginning with BYU currently is a 2-point favorite in Orlando against 3-4 UCF, who have hit some of their own struggles. Jerem, do you agree or disagree with that expectation for BYU as a 2-point favorite?
It's both. Let me explain why. 2 feels like it's not enough, given that BYU is number 11 and UCF has lost 4 in a row. Why would BYU only be a 2-point favorite? But it says a lot about both teams that it is that close, that UCF is very good in spite of 3-4. They almost beat Iowa State, who is perceived by many, not on this program, to be the best Big 12 team. They probably could and should have won the game.
They
right?
ran all over a very good Iowa State defense.
How do you run for 300-plus yards and lose, right? Your defense fails you a little bit there. But UCF is talented. Their run game is awesome. They are top five in like everything that matters. R.J. Harvey, one of the best running backs in the country.
Ja'Cory Brown ran for over 100 yards in that Iowa State game at quarterback.
Yeah, it's crazy. Which, by the way, R.J. Harvey has the longest rush and reception of the year. So he's a good receiver as well. So that's weird. But then there's also BYU where it's like, well, they held on against and had to win dramatically against a 3-4 Oklahoma State team. So is BYU as elite in all the numbers? Defensively, BYU's got some really nice numbers. Offensively, not as far back of the defense as you'd think in terms of like scoring offense and defense, like both in the top 25, right? You don't think of the BYU scoring offense as being prolific. They've scored 30-plus in 6 of the 7, the SMU game being the one that they haven't, I believe, right? So it makes sense to me that it's 2, and my trap game radar is up on this one quite a bit. You're going into a bye week, then Utah, so you don't have the distraction of Utah next week. But, like, every game, and this team feels mature, Spence, they have to go into it with a, we just have to win this game no matter what. Like, they respect everybody. They understand the two-time zone thing. Jake Retzloff said, UCF, best 3-4 team in the country, which I always love when you throw out the losing record, best that version of that team. I get it. I understand it. And I agree with it. I think 2-point is fair.
Totally fair. Yes, I'm on board for this 100%. You brought up the two-time zone thing. It is just difficult to make that long of a trip and have to show up and play high-level football when you are in some ways, another major target and opportunity for UCF to resurrect their season. They should have beaten Iowa State, didn't. I am intrigued to see what type of team shows up when they are a home underdog against BYU, albeit it's only 2 points, but are they kind of in desperation mode and they go next level, backs against the wall, or are they still reeling because of the disappointment of the Iowa State game?
Well, they had high hopes for this season. They thought they were going to kind of contend for a Big 12 title and be in
the
next year.
Now they've lost 3 in a row.
They're out of the championship race. They're trying to get to a bowl game plus. So, yeah, where are they in motivation? We'll see. Okay, next one. Third best chance to win the Big 12, 23.7%, according to ESPN's FPI. Iowa State, number one at 36. Kansas State at about 26. Then BYU. Do you agree or disagree with that number?
I'm a little confused how Kansas State right now has a better chance to win the Big 12 than BYU does.
Let's talk about this for a second. So let's say that BYU and Kansas State tie at the end of the year.
BYU,
you know, has the tiebreaker?
BYU has the tiebreaker.
Brigham Young has it because of a 29-point win. But if they get clumped into a group, that's where you zoom out on some of the tiebreakers there. But BYU has a tiebreaker over Kansas State. It's like they're up 2 games on them, Spence.
Yes. The key is, can BYU find a way to only lose 1 game in the regular season in Big 12 play?
That's the hope.
Because they'll be in the conference championship game if they only have 1 conference loss.
I believe that BYU is going to lose 1.5 games the rest of the season. What does that mean? 1 or 2? I don't know. I hope it's not 2. If it's none, let's go. That's great. The reality is it's tough to go undefeated. If BYU does it, amazing. They're pacing for that. But if you only lose 1, you're in the Big 12 title game. If you lose 0, obviously you are 2. If you lose 2, now you're in the mix. Tiebreakers, it could get weird.
So again, many of you probably see these percentages and are like, didn't BYU beat Kansas State head-to-head? Yes, clearly. They won going away. But Kansas State and Iowa State play each other in the regular season finale. So this tells me that ESPN's Football Power Index likes Kansas State to potentially win that game. And maybe Iowa State has 1 loss, and now K-State has a tiebreaker over Iowa State, and they get into the Big 12 championship game against a team like BYU. So, again, it's not as simple as, well, BYU beat Kansas State. They can't have better odds of getting into winning the Big 12 title.
It's not just,
yet again, the schedule is complicated.
Yeah.
Iowa State-Kansas State is an amazing game late in the season.
So good.
That could very well be like a de facto play-in game into the Big 12 title.
Meanwhile, BYU has Houston, which looks like a game that you have to win
should
at home,
win.
Of course. A more winnable game, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. That win over Iowa got a lot of credence for Iowa State. Kansas State looks really good. They held on at Colorado. Had a late Jace Brown touchdown there to win. So Iowa State, by the way, 51% chance to beat Kansas State. So basically 50-50.
Yeah.
In that
point flip
FPI.
Game for sure.
Yeah.
ESPN's Football Power Index, which is under some scrutiny because we're still trying to figure out why it doesn't like BYU.
Preseason stuff.
The metric just doesn't seem to like BYU very much, while all the other notable metrics seemingly do.
We love what a metric doesn't like.
Numbers! Okay. The FPI also gives BYU a 41% chance to make the college football playoff. That's the 13th best odds in the country.
That's awesome.
So BYU has almost double percentage-wise, positively speaking, to make the college football playoff than they do to win the Big 12. That's so 23% chance to win the Big 12.
Large in there.
41% chance. Do you agree or disagree with that number?
Oh, man, I don't know. I just like being in the mix for the playoff.
41% to make the playoff.
Agree? I don't know. The BYU's pacing for that. It's just hard to go undefeated. If BYU loses one game, you don't want it to be at Utah. But if you told me you had to get to the Big 12 title game,
yes.
I would say yes.
Yes.
I don't like losing to Utah in anything. Literally nothing. Like women's tennis loses to Utah or something. Like, oh, man. But if the playoff in the Big 12 title game greater than beating Utah. I know everyone has different priorities on this. But when you're talking about the chance to do something truly special, all of the above would be great. Check those three boxes. But if you get two of the three, come on. Let's go.
Yes. If BYU loses to Utah, heaven forbid, but find a way into the Big 12 championship game and get into the college football playoff, what are we doing?
I want to get into the Big 12 title game more than I want to beat Utah, because then you have a chance to get to the playoff. If BYU has zero losses going into the Big 12 title game,
they are
in the playoff. If they have one loss, you probably need to win said game. Because if you're 11-2, 11-2.
Just depends on your strength of resume.
Are you going up against Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee and Ohio State and who knows what Oregon is like at the time and so on? Penn State. It's just tough. I just don't trust the committee to have BYU out at large. One of those
11-2 gets weird. If BYU is 11-2 and lost the Big 12 championship game, then they're on the bubble.
Yes, and it would be severely disappointing to be 11-2 and not make it. It's like, oh, we expect now. All what we would say is, oh, expand it to 16, then BYU would have been in. These are fun, big dream conversations. We're only 7 games in. Like the last 5 last year did not go well for BYU. I'm not saying it's not going to go well for BYU. What I'm saying is, let's see what happens as we go here.
It's
and
wild.
If BYU can go 4-1 in the last 5 and get into the Big 12 title game, now you're talking. If they go 3-2, you might not be in. 2-3 or worse, while we're going, the back 5 again. This BYU team seems mature and ready for this challenge, though, unlike last year's group that was still 31 transfers and new in the Big 12. This group feels like, no, we've our tires have some tread on them in this way.
The control your own destiny conversation actually carries some real weight now for BYU because you're so far into the season at 7-0.
Yeah.
One thing like, well, every team controls their own destiny from game one, but if you're 7-0, now we pay a little bit more closer attention.
I'm the captain
to that.
Now.
Yes.
As Jake Retzel.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's take a closer look at how BYU's resume compares against the top-ranked Big 12 team in Iowa State and the team right above BYU in the AP poll, number 10, Clemson.
Who shouldn't be.
And then how the Cougars compare to the number one team in the country, the Oregon Ducks.
Just to see who they're the best.
Showing you where BYU fits.
We're not saying this should be number one.
Okay.
How do they compare?
BYU's resume compared to those three notable teams. Again, Iowa State, highest-ranked Big 12 team at number 9. Then Clemson, Clemson's number 9. Iowa State also above BYU. And then Oregon, the number one team in the country. So all have an undefeated record except for Clemson. Clemson is 6-1. The other three are 7-0. BYU has 2 top 25 wins. Oregon also has 2 top 25 wins.
Iowa State has 0. Why are they perceived as being? I just don't understand it. Like the Iowa win? Iowa's not as good as we thought.
But BYU, Iowa State, and Clemson all do have 5 wins against P4 competition. Oregon has 4. And then you look at the Power 4 opponent win percentage. So this is like the opponent win percentage of the teams you have beaten.
Yep.
Hands down, BYU has the best resume when you look at the Power 4 teams they have beaten, led by Kansas State and SMU.
They
have not lost to anybody else besides BYU.
Yes, they have 2 losses, both to BYU. That 60% win percentage against the P4s looks nice. Oregon's resume is great. They've beaten Ohio State, and Boise State looks super legit.
Oregon, Ashton does Oregon Genty have the, is do they have awesome. The best win of the season? Is that the best win of any team in the
beating
season?
Ohio State at
or
home?
Is it Georgia at Texas?
I would say
they're similar, right?
Recency bias, Georgia at Texas, and then you lose a close one on the road at Alabama. And you almost came back. Like, Georgia looks great to me.
Yeah, Georgia won a road game at Texas, so maybe you give that team the nod because it was a road scenario.
Yeah, you beat number one. Yeah, like, Georgia looks
but
awesome.
Listen,
Georgia's resume is amazing. And it doesn't really matter. But BYU's two top 25 wins, because they weren't blue bloods, Spence, in Kansas State and SMU, they just don't have the kind of power that we think they do. When you look just blind, it's revealed, but you don't see teams. Looks great. But, you know, if you had beaten, like, a Penn State and Ohio State,
sure.
Florida, well, they used to be good. They're not good. Miami or whatever. Then it would weigh more. It doesn't weigh that much when it's SMU and Kansas State, unfortunately. But hopefully at the end of the year it does. Where
yes.
they go, no. Both these teams are still top 20 or whatever.
We're talking about number 16 in the country in Kansas State, number 22 SMU.
Those are really good wins right now. Those validate that BYU is good. And again, right now, not a big deal. If BYU's not ranked high enough, blah, blah, blah.
Just beat UCF.
On November 5th, when the College Football Playoff Committee comes out with their poll, then we'll really have a gauge of what they think of
what
BYU
do they person. Actually value?
And BYU will be in that, by the way, regardless of what happens Saturday.
No, what metrics do they value? Can't wait to hear from the chairman. In fact, we spoke to the president of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee at Big 12 Media Days.
Yep.
It was great. But he spoke a little bit about the metrics that matter the most, but he did bring up strength of record. That will matter.
BYU's
so
what, four?
If it actually does, we'll see how that manifests itself for BYU. Just beat UCF.
Don't give the committee and the nation a reason to just chuck you at
I just want to
19.
See what an undefeated BYU at 8-0, what they would actually be able to merit.
It'll be higher than 2020 when BYU is 14. We're like,
The whole thing was, well, they haven't played anybody. They haven't beaten anybody.
Well, they have now.
What now?
They have now.
So where would BYU show up at 8-0? Oh, I hope I get to have that question
Number
answered.
Number 8, please.
Yes, our question of the day. In regards to your BYU football fandom, and by the way, thank you to so many of you who submitted your responses yesterday telling us where you were when Darius Lassiter caught his touchdown and how you
really
celebrated.
Fun. Really fun.
Amazing, amazing stories that came about that. Now, our question of the day as a follow-up to that today is, in regards to your fandom, are you taking it one game at a time, or are you all about dreaming big? We want to know.
Yeah, we want to know. What's going on?
Chris on X answers, I'm absolutely dreaming big.
Yeah.
I trust the players to take it one game at a time as they must, but I don't have to, he
That's
says.
Exactly right.
I get people not wanting to set themselves up for disappointment, but there comes a point when pumping the brakes takes the fun out of being a fan.
Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band have a great song called Dream Big. Go listen to it. It's so good. Dream big. They say, dream big as the ocean blue. Blue yonder, BYU.
Blue being the
blue,
emphasis.
Let's go. I love it.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
We'll be back here tomorrow at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City for the men's basketball Big 12 Media Days, live on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, let's start our interview fun, shall we? The head coach of BYU women's basketball, Amber Whiting, ready to preview year number 2 in Big 12 play. And discuss how much she loves being picked to finish 12th. This is BYU Sports Nation.
It is a really positive, strong interview. They're fighting for loose balls.
The steps we've made this summer and into this fall are fantastic. Really, really excited about the steps that we believe we're going to take this year.
We are live from T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. And it's only natural that we open up this basketball conversation as the women take center stage with the head coach of BYU Women's Hoops, Amber Whiting. Amber, welcome back to BYU
SN. Thank you. Thank you. Excited to be here.
You're an old veteran now at the Big 12, right?
I've done this. Yep.
You know exactly what you're doing. But the league added 4, lost 2, right? Even if you got used to what it was last year, it's a totally different league this year, right?
Totally different. Kehlani texted me and was like, hey, do you want to be in the same hotels? And I started looking at our schedule. I'm like, there's really only 3 road trips that overlap from last year, which is crazy. So
wild.
Yeah.
That different.
You flip it, right?
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
Add the new 4. So.
Okay. Well, so naturally with the changes and because you have a year of experience under your belt in the Big 12, what do you feel like is the most significant challenge that awaits you in year number 2?
Just putting all of our newcomers together, like freshmen and transfers. Like, I mean, we're a completely different team playing a new style of play. And so just that in and of itself. I like to focus on us more than anyone else.
This is us, right?
Yeah.
8 newcomers. How long did it take before you had everyone's name memorized? Did you have "Hi, my name is" at the first day of practice?
I think I recruited them, so I was pretty
hey,
good
you.
With names.
Mostly a joke, but yes.
No, but I mean, just you got to figure each kid out, yep. right? Like, what makes them tick? How you can get after them? How you can coach them? What brings out the best in them? So that takes a while.
What pieces fit and what mm-hmm. don't, right? You mentioned you're going to play a new style. What kind of style yes. are you going to play?
Lee's. I've given Lee the offense. And so he has ramped it up as far as the pace of play that we want to play. And obviously he's a 3-ball shooter, so he loves a 3, so he wants to shoot it.
Does that change conditioning? Like, all right, we got to be in
100%.
Shape to run.
Yep, 100%.
Does this have anything to do with what BYU men's basketball did last year and the success they had?
A little bit. Like, I watched them, and I mean, BYU is always known for shooting the 3, right? And we had a really good shooting percentage last year, so why not capitalize on that?
Out of curiosity, who's the best 3-point shooter on your roster right now?
Ooh. I would say Kim right now.
Okay.
Kimry.
So Kimry.
Who we'll talk to later.
Yeah. You're trying to replace, you know, just some incredible 3-point shooters from a year ago, and mm-hmm. one came as a shocker, and you lose Kaylee Wilson to a mission.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you anticipate from Kemmery specifically as she begins her BYU venture?
Well, for her, I wanted to get her to come because of her experience. I mean, being a 5th year, like, she brings that, and she's kind of like that calm in the storm, and that how she plays is like that as well. And so she just has that experience. She's really smooth with it. She has a nice little pull-up. But yeah, when she gets going, she can knock down shots for sure.
How has Amari gotten better over the summer?
She wasn't satisfied with last year. She was kind of disappointed. But that's, I feel like, come back from her ACL. Like, she, I mean, didn't trust her body, didn't, you know, things like that. And so she got in the weight room because as soon as we got done, she was like, I need to get more muscle. Like, she got knocked off her base really easy. So she got in the weight room, got stronger, and I feel like she's actually getting back her, like, quick twitches, like, that she's had lost that year. So I look to her a lot as far as, like, being the voice on the court, getting everybody going. I mean, because your PG is your extension, kind of. So
seems like she did have a good year, especially coming off an ACL. But how would you evaluate it? Because you're not only her coach, you're her mom, and she is coming off a serious knee injury. Yet it seemed like she had a pretty good freshman year.
And she'll tell you her free throw percentage was awful. But I feel like that goes back to just the focus on what I'm focusing on. And there was a bunch of times during the season, like, she goes to make a move and you can see she's not trusting herself or trusting her body. But she did. I mean, she did okay last year. Like, I would have to agree. But it's not to where I have seen her play. So
the standard's high.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're 7 days away from the first exhibition and only 15 days away from your first actual game. So what are you hoping to tweak and adjust to be ready, not necessarily for the exhibition, because I know that's part of the tweak process, but, like, getting ready for your first actual game?
I think in the exhibition, I mean, we've went against each other and went against our guy squad in practice, right? But just being able to see, like, a sub, a rotation, you know, who's going to play well together, because, you know, you need a certain amount of people that's shooting the ball on the court compared to, you know, but we always got to have defense. And so just to see the chemistry of that come together.
Ari Mackey Williams tears the ACL again, just devastating. How did the team kind of handle this? How are you handling it emotionally right now?
That was a tough day. Like, I'll be honest, I was sick to my stomach. She had been playing phenomenal, shooting the ball like crazy good. And so I was excited to see her back out there. And when you have more shooters, it spaces the court, you know? And so that was a hard one for us, especially. And for her, like, I mean, think about that back-to-back years. Like, that's just, I mean, I don't wish that injury on anyone, having went through it in our family. And so just, I mean, having her do that again, it was awful.
Same knee or different knee?
Different.
Mm. Mm. Amber Whiting is with us on BYU Sports Nation, the head coach of BYU women's basketball. You certainly have some players that have gone through some challenges. Your daughter, we've mentioned Ari Mackey Williams. Like, there's mental toughness, but what would you say is the identity of your team overall at this point?
I love the freshmen that's came in. Like, they're just fearless. So for me, that's like refreshing, and I love being able to go down and coach them, right? But then on the flip side, you got to kind of teach them, like, what can happen, what can't happen, you know what I mean? Like, you can't leave the ball on the strong side. You can't do, like, there are certain things. But, and then the newcomers that have came in, like, I love the chemistry and the camaraderie that they've brought. Like, everybody's just open, welcoming. And so being able to, like, I was worried about coaching and getting the chemistry together, but they love each other. And so off the court, that is there. And so it kind of translates on the court. So it's my job now to make sure that we get put forth our best foot.
One of those freshmen people are really excited about is Delaney Gibb out of Canada, top 100 recruit. What do you expect as a freshman from Delaney?
I've talked to her about, like, I need her to be aggressive. Like, she's best when she's just playing aggressive. And so I just, you know, get after it and, like, give her the green light. Like, you have to as a freshman, just no fear. Let's go.
And during, was it during kind of COVID, she moved to Utah for a minute and, mm-hmm. and kind of lived near you guys or something? Amari got to know Delaney, and
yeah, they played on the same Adidas team together. Well, actually, the 16s and 17s, but they practiced together. And then there's a couple tournaments where we pulled Delaney to come play. And so they had that chemistry and that camaraderie. And I think having that already, the connection has been really, really nice to see. So much so that sometimes I get mad at them in practice because, you know, they don't talk the switch, but they're switching. And so I'm like, you guys. And I'm like, no, that doesn't work for me.
Like, I need to hear it.
I need to hear it.
Talk.
We are hearing Amber Whiting on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, you're not going to just plug and play someone to replace the greatest rebounder in BYU basketball history, Lauren Gustin. But you certainly have an approach and an effort level that you're hoping for. So what is the plan to try and get the production in some way or another to help as Lauren Gustin has moved on in her career?
Every single person has to step up. So I've told them, like, I'm not going to replace those rebounds in one person, but it's got to be you. Everybody has to be two or three more. Everyone, because we don't get it. We don't have that luxury anymore. And so that for across the board, everybody has to step up.
For preseason polls, BYU football has said, we'll take your 13th and we'll be higher in the AP poll than the Big 12. Picked 12th. How do you handle a thing like that?
It doesn't bother me. Like, I love the challenge. We look at it the same way the football team has, right? And I love watching them succeed right now because it gives us, like, we can do this too, right? It gives you a chip on your shoulder to go out there and play and just prove people wrong. But yeah, I'm excited about this. And we take it one game at a time. So I don't look to conference yet. We got to do non-conference. We got to do exhibition first, right? So one game at a time.
What's the message you're hoping to send to opponents that face BYU? Like, if you were to ask an opposing coach after the game, what are you hoping they say about BYU women's basketball?
I hope they say that we make them uncomfortable. Like, we play defense, like, up in them, and we, you know, make refs uncomfortable calling our games. Like, I want that to be, I want them sped up. I want them feeling, you know, crap, I hate playing them. They're handsy. They're this, they're that, the other. And that's, I mean, offense will take care of itself, but that's where I want it.
Lee Kamard will take care of the offense.
He has that. I got this.
Who's on the defense? Who's taking the defense?
Who, me.
That's you.
Yep.
You
yeah.
directly.
Yep.
Ooh, I like that. I'm excited to watch.
Yep.
Well, best of luck not only on the season, but today. It's a fun day. You get to talk to everybody about the squad. So what are you looking forward to the most besides the beef jerky from Old Trapper?
In Big 12 Media?
Yeah.
This, BYU TV, right
okay.
here.
Okay, yeah. Well, we peaked and now it's downhill. Yeah. Thanks, Amber. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, you bet.
Good luck. Hey, if you missed Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick breaking down BYU's epic win over Oklahoma State, you can check it out from Coordinator's Corner yesterday for free on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
Let's keep it rolling from Kansas City and Big 12 Basketball Media Days and do so with BYU point guard Amari Whiting. Let's get a gauge of her expectations for year two of Big 12 play in Provo. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
That conversation probably starts with Amari. She's proven it in terms of summer preparation. Amari led us into every category. She's really, really taken steps.
Welcome back to T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, the site of Big 12 Basketball Media Days today and tomorrow. Joining us now is the woman who just knocked down and provided that highlight of that three-pointer. Amari Whiting back for year number two at BYU. Amari, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
What's up?
How are you?
We're doing great. We're here in Kansas City hanging out. How's it been so far?
Let's go. No, it's been really fun. We've done a lot of fun things. Cosmo's been busting out moves, so it's been good.
Cosmo, the best hang ever, right?
The best.
The best. Can't talk, but still good hang.
Still. Yeah.
It's tough to do that,
right?
When you can't talk,
right?
But you're still a good hang.
I respect
that's
it.
Oh, all right. So it didn't take long for your mom and coach to put you on blast, Amari.
Oh, shoot.
She talked about your free throw shooting with us.
Oh,
so,
perfect. She didn't start with that. No, she felt like you had a good year, but that you could do much more. And she felt like she led with saying, you felt that way too. That you said, I got to put on more muscle. I'm getting knocked off my base a little bit.
Yeah.
How would you assess your freshman year?
I didn't think, like in my eyes, like, I didn't think it was great. I think coming back from injury is always tough. And that first year is just a lot of mind games of trusting yourself, being confident again. And I think that's where my free throws was a lot, is I just was super nervous and wasn't fully confident in myself and what I could do. And so, yeah, I think that freshman year was good to just get under my belt. And I was super grateful for the position I was in and to be able to start and play those minutes. I think towards the end, you could kind of see the strides I made, and I was able to, you know, help our team win. But I just feel like I didn't contribute a ton and do the Amari things I know I can do. And that's just like starting with like picking up 94 feet and stuff like that. Like, that's just who I am. And I feel like I was, you know, trying to ease it back in with my leg and, you know, save it. But yeah, so I agree with my mom.
There was no way to ease into it though. Like, if you're going to start and be the point guard, you're asked to be arguably the most important player on the court, yet your standard's high.
It's always super simple to be thrown in as a true freshman.
Yeah, and hey, guard every inch of the court. You know, this is just normal things for a freshman in college. No, you were asked to do a lot. So it's interesting to see, hey, I can be better. Yeah.
For sure. We bring up the free throw thing in jest. Obviously, as we just heard Coach Wardenburg talk about, you have, in his opinion, put in the most work of anybody on the roster in the offseason. So what specifically went into that? Walk us through the typical offseason day of Amari Whiting as you were preparing to get better.
During the summer, my brother was home, which was awesome. And so
Jace.
And so we would go train at least 2 to 3 times a week with a guy named Dejan in Salt Lake. I was lifting every day, running every day, and then just getting my own shots in on top of those workouts. So really every day, just lift, condition. I was putting in X amount of makes, and then going to train with Dejan. Or if we didn't have Dejan that day, then I was training with another trainer here, and then also my dad. And so just kind of getting in all the work I could. I feel like this off season compared to last off season was more of like, hey, I got my body back underneath me. Like, now it's time to make gains, time to make strides. And so, yeah, just was working.
It's hard, as your mom mentioned, I mean, Coach Whiting, the two are the same, to trust your knee. How long before you do? Have you? How do you know? Do you have to get into games before you're like, okay, this is pre-ACL me?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, you can practice all you want. But like, I remember one practice, like I went up for a contested layup and I just dropped the ball and I was like, no, like I can't do it. Like, mm-hmm. it really messes with your brain a lot. And I started seeing Craig this, past summer as
Craig
well.
Manning.
Craig Manning. Yeah. Just working on the mind. But yeah, like, you really just have to experience it. Like, you just have to do it. I remember this, oh, sorry, I get emotional about it. But I remember after that time I dropped the ball, I ran into the training room and Trevin was there. And I was like freaking out, kind of having a panic attack of like, dude, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he was like, same thing happened with, you know, his shoulder when he tore it. And he was like, I remember about to shoot contestant 3 and same thing kind of happened. Like, it just freaked him out. And he's like, you just have to do it. And so that was kind of just my thing all season. It was like, I just have to do it. Like, I can't remember, like, the first couple games, I remember just being nervous to even drive the ball. But then just his words played in my mind, like, I just have to do it. Like, it'll be okay. Like, if it happens, it happens. But faith over fear. And so that's just kind of what I had to do.
That's a great story.
Now, we appreciate the insight. And it is an emotional deal. And it's something that we probably don't spend enough time talking about at length, because that's a tricky path to navigate for sure. But you've mentioned now you feel like you're your old self. So how long have you been playing in that mindset of, okay, now I'm truly back? Like, from a time frame perspective, how long has it been? I'm regular Amari now.
Yeah. I think I started to gain my confidence and see those strides probably the last two, three games of our season. I just feel like I was able to, you know, contribute more and just, you know, have confidence and believe in myself that, hey, I can help my team out. I can do what I need to do. And I think you can kind of see the game slow down for me in those, you know, games. I wasn't too, like, sped up or worried about it. And then just this summer, I feel like even, like, when we started practices and stuff like that, I feel like I've been more calm and collected. And just, you know, because I did get that experience underneath my belt, I've just been more confident in what I'm doing. So,
8 newcomers on this team. Different squad. Different style of play, Coach Whiting was telling us. What are you most excited about with a new-look group in year 2 of the Big 12, which is also a little different with 4 new teams?
Yeah. I'm just excited because I feel like all of our girls are super hungry. Like, we have a bunch of transfers that obviously, like, either came off bad years or injuries or whatnot. So they want it bad, you know, want a good year underneath them. And then freshmen that haven't proved anything yet want to, like, show people that this is, like, where they need to be and this is the sport they're playing type deal. So I just think you'll see a lot of fight. Like, I think that even this summer, like, no one has ever had to ask, like, hey, get extra shots in. Like, we should be shooting this amount of shots every week. Like, practice ends and literally every single person is out there shooting. And I feel bad for our practice boys and managers because they stay after, like, hours. But it's just nice to see, like, you, the work ethic is there. And I think that, like, yeah, we might be, like, new and, you know, team chemistry and just playing together will have to come. But I think that we'll get there. So
BYU sophomore point guard Amari Whiting is on BYU Sports Nation. There are, as Jared mentioned, 8 significant newcomers. Which of the newcomers earned your attention very quickly in Provo?
I think all of them kind of did in their own way. I mean, obviously, like, seeing the freshmen and the level that they're at right now compared to how I was, I feel like I'm almost, like, proud of them. Does that make sense? For just staying confident and staying, like, true to themselves. And so they really have just, you know, surprised me, and I've been kind of shocked of how good they are. And same with, like, all of our transfers. Like, yeah, I was on, like, their visits or got to see them, but, like, I've never, like, obviously seen them play in person. Even when we played Santa Clara, Mariah was out with injury. And so it's just fun to see, like Kenny G when she posts up, like, we all get hyped, or when someone knocks down a 3-ball, like, we all get hyped because it's just, you have, like, good girls on your team, you know, and you really haven't seen them. So it's kind of like watching a highlight film of everyone.
That's awesome. Pick 12th in the preseason poll. How do you take that information?
I love it.
That's what your mom said too.
I think that it's right where we need to be. I think that we don't need to have all this pressure expectations on us. I think we know what we're going to do. And I think that whoever's not on the train now can stay off the train. You know, we're ready.
Heyo.
Number 12 in the Big 12.
Yes.
So take that on
like
surface.
12, yeah, around BYU. We
absolutely
love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We also enjoy BYU teams exceeding expectations.
Yes, we do.
7-0. Let's go.
Let's go. 7-0.
You know your audience.
He knows.
Come on.
Mari, great to talk with you. We wish you the best of luck. 15 days away from Idaho. So let's just go ahead and give us a BYU Sports Nation karma
all
right now.
Of
the exhibition and season opener.
Awesome. Thanks, Mari.
Thanks, Amari.
Guys,
check out After Further Review tonight, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app as the boys break down the game against Oklahoma State. Look ahead to the big game at UCF, 7 Eastern, BYU TV app.
After the break, Kemri Congdon and Emma Calvert of BYU Women's Basketball discuss their own expectations for BYU's second year in Big 12 play. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Out to Davenport. 3 is good! Bounce pass to Whiting, right to the rim and in. Calvert takes the 3 and hits it! Passes to Calvert. Beautiful spin move. Jump shot off the glass and in.
Oh, good vibes. BYU women's basketball with the highlight reel right there. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live from Big 12 Basketball Media Days at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. We welcome in another dynamic duo of players from BYU women's hoops, specifically Kemri Congdon and Emma Calvert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
To Kansas City.
Good to be here.
A year ago, you probably were like, wait, I'm going to be in Kansas City wearing a BYU uniform?
Wouldn't have thought.
Here we are.
How crazy is that, Kimberly?
Look at us now.
How would you wrap up the last year of your life to where you sit now?
And your last name change. You got married.
Exactly. It's all over. It's fun, though.
It's all over?
It's all over the place. All over the different changing. Decisions I would have never thought a year ago, but hey.
All over the place is different than it's all over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been fun. You look great in blue, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Okay, Emma, we've been told that BYU is going to shoot a lot of three-pointers this year. That happens to be part of your game. How do you feel about this push for BYU to be more of a perimeter, up-tempo team to shoot a lot of threes?
Yeah. I mean, it works for me because, you know, three's more than two, so we got to make them. So
that's money ball basketball. Simple math. You know what I mean? Money basketball right there, yeah. Are you pushing Lee for anything specific that you want? Because Lee's a good listener.
Yeah, Lee's a good listener. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I talk to Lee a lot about things, and he's great at feedback. So just everything, you know.
And Kemri, threes are a part of your game. Let's go.
Of course, yeah.
How many a game are you hoping for?
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking attempts.
Double digits? Double digits? Double,
okay.
That'd be nice, right?
Oh.
That'd win nice. A lot of basketball games.
That's right.
You make double-digit threes as a team.
If we can get 10 Kemri wide-open threes, it's going
to
be a great
good luck. Good luck to the opponents for sure.
That's at least five makes, right? At least.
Okay, Kemri, we need to ask a question. And I asked this to your coach, and she answered it, but I'm interested to hear your answer. Who's the best shooter on the team?
Me. I mean, her answer better than that.
she may or may not have talked about you.
She did say you, so sorry.
Motivation for you, man. This is motivation.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine. It's totally good.
How many of Lauren Gustin's rebounds do you plan on personally grabbing in addition to the ones that you got last year?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to clean up quite a few more boards to hold that standard.
You know well, I mean, just how many do you want?
How many do I want?
Yeah.
I mean, double digits would be great, but
that'd be great. Double digits, everything.
Why not?
Just double digits, everything.
At all, just why not?
What pros of this new style of offense? Obviously, it's fun to play.
Yeah,
but like you want to win, and that's why you make the adjustment. Right?
I mean, for me, I think it's super great because I can be in the post and I can shoot threes, and so like I just have kind of the freedom to do either. Which we do have some structure to it, so I can't just like do whatever I want. But I think it's cool that I can just kind of go in and out.
You're a modern
five. Matchups.
You got to be able to shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
All right, this is a question for both of you because this is a unique dynamic when you have eight new players, but you do return some core pieces that have been around for a while, including yourself, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
What's the chemistry like and the camaraderie of the team? Because it's the new age of college athletics where you are sometimes going to have a ton of new pieces. So how has that been for you to transition with so many new teammates?
I mean, I think it's been super fun to try to like mesh, and Kemri's like so good at just passing the ball.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Shooter and passer, all of the above. So I just think we got a lot of pieces who can create the chemistry, Kemri being one of them. And so like she's just really good at seeing who's open, we'll backdoor cut, things like that. And it's just a dime every time.
Kemri, how's it been for you, that same chemistry question?
You know, it's been fun. This summer we've got the chance to kind of mesh together. And it's been feeling better each time. And, yeah, Emma's got, like, glue in her hands. So, honestly, every time I leave it, it's just like, boom, right there, layup. So it's been fun. There's a lot of different good pieces on the team, different good, you know, talents that we still working on putting together. But it's definitely coming there.
As a fifth year, do you feel like you've been asked to be a leader? Has that been natural, normal on this team, even though you're new to the squad?
You know, a little both, yeah. I mean, having that experience and stuff, of course, I want to help out the freshmen that have it, kind of prepare them as much as I can. But then, yes, I've been asked.
What do you think the biggest challenge is for BYU women's basketball as in the 15 days before game number one against Idaho? Like, what do you feel like you need to do to accomplish, to get better at before you play a game this year, Emma?
I mean, I don't know. I think chemistry is a big one because I think as soon as the bright lights come on, it's like a whole different game. And we try to replicate that as best we can in practice. But as soon as the lights turn on, it gets kind of real almost. And so just keeping the standard of what we've been practicing all year is super important. And just because we have defensive principles, we have our offense, and just holding those steady. So,
Kemri, in your bio, it says you have a, quote, a secret love for art. Is it a secret if you put it in your bio?
Yeah, how secretive is it?
Well, what's funny is I don't remember putting it, but, you know, How'd that get in there?
Well, well, well.
I think the wording was a little different. I grew up enjoying art. I like to draw my free time growing up. I used to make like holiday cards as like gifts when I was younger.
That's awesome.
For my grandparents, they loved it. Just the older I've gotten, though, I haven't done it as much.
Not you as much
maybe
time,
that's why it's a secret. Just because it's like
just hidden.
If you knew me
bit.
Now, yeah, it's yeah. not necessarily.
Can you draw me from. Something?
Yeah,
perfect.
You'll have time between stations.
Yeah,
today.
Perfect. Yeah.
We have so much free time.
Get Kemri some paper.
Yeah.
On the spot. We asked your coach and your point guard, Amari Whiting, the same question, but because we are at Media Days and BYU's picked to finish 12th, how do both of you handle that individually and going together as a team when you obviously want to exceed expectations? So how do you use that as a motivating force, Emma?
I mean, how do you not use that as a motivating force? You know what I mean? I think every single team in the Big 12 wants to be higher than number 12. And so I don't know. I think it's just fuel for the fire. And I also just think they haven't really seen us play because of all the new pieces that we do have. And so how can they really know where we're going to finish or really know what's going to happen?
Yeah. How do you approach that, Kemri?
You know, there's great competition, but it's more so like, all right, you know, I'm sure they talked about underdog mentality, but I think right now is just let's just put our heads down and work. Like, there's a lot of basketball to play. There's a lot of things that will happen that we don't know yet, but all we can do is just put our heads down and work hard.
You take notes from the football team. Oh, you thought we'd be 18th? We're going to be 11th in the AP poll and climbing.
Why not? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So just a couple of Renaissance women here, Jerem.
That's exactly right. Well played.
They can do it all on the basketball floor and otherwise.
We had Amari Whiting on. She lived in Italy for 9 years. I mean, yeah, literally a Renaissance. Yeah, awesome.
Great to have both of you here. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thank
coming
you.
On.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
BYU football with Kalani Sitakias tonight, 8:30 Eastern time, as the coach and Emma Hamuli's produced show, and Greg Rubel. They all talk about...
Caleb Etienne is the guest tonight.
Oh, treat. The
yeah,
treat.
Big treat.
Oh, he's big, dude.
He's having a season.
8:30 Eastern tonight on the BYU TV app.
We'll wrap up today's show with responses to our question of the day. Hey, we're in Kansas City. Vibes are good. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Barbecue, baby.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This program's on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod, subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day in regards to your BYU football fandom, are you taking it one game at a time or are you dreaming big? Parker_Francis02 on Instagram says, dreaming big, CFP, let's go.
Have fun with it in whatever way you deem fit. That's what I say.
Just get to 8-0, Jerem. Just get to 8-0
get
and
to 8-0.
Open up that conversation with the selection committee during the bye week.
Then we'll have a bye week that'll be really fun because basketball starts that week.
Yes. At @salami_Kitake on
That's
X,
real.
Who says, one game at a time. If BYU can win this week, then I'll dream big. Set for 7 weeks in a row.
And at TX Colonel, I'm caught in this dilemma. Because he quoted BYU alumni DF Dub. BYU fans in Texas right now, keep expectations low.
Yep.
Buy tickets to Big 12 title game, 2 buttons.
Which do I do? Yes.
That's great.
It's tough. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated in from @PBorges7 on X, who says, my son was born in September and watched the SMU game with me in the hospital. He has never seen BYU football lose. I'm dreaming big.
That's my daughter, Paige. She's 3 months old as well. Never seen BYU lose ever.
Jerem, did I purposely charge my car to 84% last night? I did.
Oh, you went over 80? Look at you, Doug.
I went to 84.
Yeah.
For a good reason. All the good vibes.
Why is that, said no one?
All the good vibes. Yeah, is it just ridiculous?
Andre Ware playing that up on the broadcast over the weekend, by the way. Quiet.
Is it a ridiculous superstition? Yeah, and I don't care. Good vibes, right?
84%.
Today's Rise and Shout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about to everyone from our crew to the Big 12, being here in Kansas City, of course, gathering for Women's Basketball Media Day. We got a bunch of interviews we're going to do the rest of the day as well. Men's basketball coming up tomorrow. We'll be live again from Kansas City. And, of course, we're excited to get some barbecue. Maybe we'll make it out to Liberty Jail while we're here. That'd be fun.
That's not too far away from where we are.
It went like 20 years ago.
Wait, what happened there, Jerem?
Important stuff.
Indeed.
In church history, yep.
In all seriousness, it's always fun to be here. This is a next level event.
And we get to maybe snag one of these jerseys later.
Hopefully BYU men's women's basketball have multiple buys into the tournament here in March.
That'd be awesome.
Let's go. All right, our thanks to today's guests. They are Amber and Amari Whiting, Camry Congdon, and Emma Calvert, a quartet of awesome from BYU women's
hoops. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, who I play pickup with in the Smithfield house. We ran out of time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Kalani Purcell. See you tomorrow for more BYU men's basketball coverage as we continue our coverage from T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Go Cougs!